You have your Bibles, turn with me this morning to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Have you ever faced any giants in your life? Felt like they were just so insurmountable and so difficult to deal with, you didn't know where to turn. We want to talk about defeating your giants this morning. I'm going to use a familiar passage of Scripture back in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and describe it like this. He looked immense, standing some 9 1/2 feet tall. If he were living today, he'd be probably the highest paid basketball player in the world because he could dunk standing flat footed. His armor gripped him as tight as a tourniquet. Clutching a sword and a spear in his hand, he looked like a Sherman tank wrapped in human skin. When he walked, it was as if there was a mini earthquake taking place, registering something like 3.0 on the Richter scale. His voice was like a clap of thunder as he marched to the battlefield And he hurled out his abuses. Is there any man that's willing to come out and fight against me? You see, his challenge was that there's no need in all the armies having to fight and many dying. But if one will come out, you send your champion out to fight me, and whoever wins, the others will be servant. But the Israeli soldiers were afraid of this man whose name was Goliath. And I guess a question that we might ask ourselves this morning is, would you take him on? Would you be willing to fight against this 9 1/2 foot tall giant of a man? The fact is, there are Goliath types all over this world and in all of life. Sometimes Goliath is a formidable decision. Sometimes Goliath is a personal problem or difficulty that we face in life. Sometimes it's a enslaving habit. Or in church, it could be a problem, or it could be some church budget that is challenging. But Goliath stood bullishly in front of all of those that were on the other side. And I hear him hurling out his insults, and he was challenging anyone that would come, send out your champion. He said, I'm defying the name of the living God of Israel this day. Do you not have a man that would come against me? Well, there was one young man whose name was David, who chose not to run from Goliath. One day, Jesse, his father, sent his young son David, told him to quit tending the sheep and go and check on his brothers. There were three that were in the war. And so David takes food, going to check on his brothers. And when he got there, he found them all standing around the campfire. They were talking a good battle, but they were scared to death. And it wasn't long until he realized just why they were scared when this giant of a man came down to the battlefront. He said, who will come out against me? Who will fight me? David watched as he saw the Israelite soldiers cowering down in the trenches. He realized that they didn't want to go out and fight. They wanted somebody else to battle. They wanted someone else to do the work. And David watched him as he came out. He was banging his sword on his shield, and he was hurling out his insults. David watched all of the Israelite soldiers run like scared rabbits from a skilled hunter. He heard his brother say something like this: "There's none like him. He's awesome." Have you ever seen anybody like that? He's just awesome. Well, David said, in essence, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And the reason why he could say that was not because of his own strength. He was just a boy. The Bible said he was of a ruddy complexion. He hadn't even grown up yet. But he knew that he was going not in his strength, but in the strength of God. And he knew that he would be able to win because he was to find the living name of God, the God of Israel. He said, "I'll not let that happen." Eliab said, "David, you can't do it." Now that's his oldest brother. Said, "David, you need to just hush up and go on back home. You've always been like this." But you know, there are always people like Eliab. Their words are disheartening. The message is always the same. They simply say, "You can't do it. You can't build a church here. They don't want to grow. You can't do it here." But David knew what God wanted. Some people hold membership in the WWCDI Society. That is the won't work, the can't do it society. Moreover, there are some like David who place their confidence and their trust in the Lord, knowing that God is able to deliver. Now, I will tell you, I'd been like the soldiers. I'd been apprehensive if I'm going to pick somebody to fight, I'd much rather they be small. Kind of, weak. You feel kind of bold against somebody like that, but when somebody is 9 1/2 feet tall and he looks like a Sherman tank walking down the street, you don't want to fight him. But he knew that he knew who was in charge of his life. And he knew that God was going to give the strength. So the place of our greatest weakness might be the place of our greatest strength. A true story about a beggar who wandered into a church in a southern community one day looking for work. The minister said, "Well, it just so happened we've got some work around here that needs to be done." And so the minister offered him a job on a 3-day trial basis, and the beggar accepted the offer. Now, when the days had passed, the beggar came into the office to receive his pay, and the minister said, "You've done an exceptional job. Would you like to work here permanently?" "Sure," he said. "Good," replied the minister. "Take these employment papers, read them carefully, sign the bottom line, and you've got the job." Well, the beggar dropped his head in disappointment, and the minister said, "What's the matter? Did I say something wrong that offended you?" "No," replied the beggar, "but you see, I can't read or write." "Oh, really?" asked the minister, astonished. "If you can't read or write, perhaps we need to hire somebody else for this job." Leaving the church premises, the beggar cashed his check, bought a variety of fruits and vegetables, opened up a fruit stand on a busy highway. With the profits from the fruit sale, he bought more fruit, and this went on and went on. In a few short years, he had the largest fruit and vegetable market in the entire region. He purchased land, constructed a new warehouse, and in time, He had made over $1 million. One day he went into the local bank, where by this time he was not only well known, but greatly respected for his entrepreneurship. Greeting him on a first name basis, the banker, the president asked, "How can we be of service to you?" "I'd like to open an account," he said. The banker escorted him into his office, handed him some account papers, and asked him to fill them out. The man dropped his head in disappointment, explaining, "I can't read or write." "You can't read or write?" the astonished banker asked. "You mean to tell me that you have acquired a financial fortune and you can't read or write?" "That's right," said the former beggar. "Incredible," shouted the banker. "With such a business acumen as you obviously possess, do you know where you would be today if you could read or write?" He said, "Yes, I'd be the custodian at the local church." But sometimes our place of weakness is our place of greatest strength. David knew that it was that knowledge that catapulted him to the front line of the battlefield. It was that confidence in the Lord. He said, "I know I can't do it in myself, and neither can you. But with God's help, if God takes our hand and we just simply submit ourselves to God and His will for our life, He'll give us the victory. He is omnipotent. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Well, the king said, "You're but a youth. Goliath has been a warrior from his youth up." But David believed that God was able to do what Paul had said in the New Testament, our text verse, "I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." Well, David said, first of all, "When keeping my father's sheep, there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb, and I slew both of them." Confidence in yourself is the first key to confronting your Goliath. You have it within you to meet Goliath, but you've got to have confidence. I'm here to tell you that God is able to help you to accomplish whatever He calls you to do. Let me give you a true story. Carl Wallenda was a high wire walker that was renowned all over the world. But they said the last year or so of his life, he lost his confidence. And he was afraid that he was going to fall. And sure enough, what he was afraid of came true in Puerto Rico as he fell from a 75-foot wire and he died. When Goliath, whomever he is or whatever he is, you've got to believe in yourself. And if you believe in yourself, then God will help you to overcome, because it's not you, it's Him. And the second is the resources. David not only believed in himself, but he was well acquainted with his own abilities and resources. And that's the second secret to confronting your Goliath. That is, know yourself and your innate abilities and resources. That simply says that I can do the job if God calls me to do it and empowers me to accomplish it. I can do the job. Well, you know what King Saul said? He said, "Now you're just a youth. You have a ruddy complexion. You can't fight against this man, but if you want to do it, you've got the job." You know, there wasn't folks standing in line for that job. And so he said, "David, you've got the job." David complied. He put on the armor of the king, and it was too big and bulky, and it just didn't fit. He said, "I haven't proved myself." And he said, I'm going to go out and fight this giant of a man with what I know best. And the king asked him, what is it? He said, a slingshot. He said, say what? A slingshot. You might as well take snowballs and throw them against the rock of Gibraltar than to go out there with a slingshot against this giant of a man. But David knew that he wasn't going alone. You remember what he did? That big giant of a man came marching out to the battle front, and he came banging his sword on his shield. He had his armor bearer there. I mean, he was formidable. David went down by the brook, and the Bible said he made haste, and he hurried out to meet him. Now, if he was somebody that thought he was going to die, he wouldn't have been in such a hurry, would he? But he had that confidence that God was going to see him to victory. And so he goes down by the brook, and he reaches down, picks up 5 smooth stones, put them in his pouch. And he went on out to the battlefield. And that giant of a man said, I'm going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. The audacity of the king to send you out to fight me, a giant of a man, a warrior. But David wasn't going alone. He goes out and he reaches in his pouch and he pulls out that one stone. And you know, when you're going in God's power and direction, it only takes one stone. So he put that rock in that slingshot and he threw it around, and I'm convinced that God guided him that day like never before, and that hit him right here. And he dropped like a wedge. David didn't have a sword. He told him he was going to cut his head off. He didn't have a sword, so he looked down, and the giant wasn't using his, so he grabbed it up, and he whacked his head off, you know? And you know what happened? The armies of the Philistine began to run like scared rabbits. And all of those guys that was cowering in the trenches for fear over here, boy, they got up and they said, let's chase after them. Let's get them. You know, when the enemy's on the run, it's easy to kind of get, we can do it. And that's what happened. Well, kind of reminds me of the fact of the little boy who had an arm severed in an accident. And he came to Sunday school and church one day, and he went into the Sunday school class, and the teacher noticed that his arm was gone, his right arm. And she said, I wanted to make sure that I didn't do anything that would bring that attention to that fact that he had one arm gone. And she went along good until the last of the class. And she said, class, now let's do our usual program. I want us to, you know, here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open it up. And anyway, I used to do that. But here's the people. And fear went down her heart as she realized that what she didn't want to do, she had done. But then the little girl next to this boy came to the rescue and said, let me help you. And she put her right hand out and his left hand out. She said, let's build the church together. And you know, that's really how it's always done, isn't it? It's not one, it's not two, but it's all of us together, working together and doing what God wants us to do. You know, there are ups and there are downs, there are bumps, but together we can overcome all of them. Together we can be victorious. And then the last thought was trust. David knew that that which empowered him to face the giant was not himself and his own strength, but it was God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear and the lion will deliver me today. The same thing that Paul said centuries later, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When we trust Christ, our perspective on things change. And Goliath is reduced in size to where he is not only manageable, he is defeatable. There's not a problem you face that you can't overcome with God's help. You and God are the majority. We can be victorious in whatever problems the devil sends our way. There's a bumper sticker that asks the question, how big is your God? Well, he's big enough to help you to confront your Goliath, whether it be maybe marriage issues, church problems, whether it be family issues, personal problems, issues on the job, whatever it might be. We all face Goliath every day. But there's no way that Goliath can defeat you. Is your God big enough? You bet he is. Your Goliath has no idea what he's up against. Because you and God make that majority. Isn't that good news? I battle things in my life all the time. You know, being a pastor, I deal with issues. I battle. But I always realize that I'm not in it by myself. I have God that with his power and my availability, there's nothing that cannot be accomplished for the cause of Christ. God help us that we'll grow in grace and in knowledge and in number, that we'll be all that God wants us to be. There are hurting people out there that need the Lord. We need to help them to find him. And we know him. He's our friend. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. Share him. Share him, and together, let's build the church. Bow with me for prayer.